We'll have our Fesco and Dusty poll question coming up in a little bit, and the drop that everybody loves slash hates to hear, but it is a Wednesday, baby. All-Star game last night. Now, we said this week moved by fast.
Yeah.
We've had the luxury of Home Run Derby,
mm-hmm.
All-Star game.
Yep.
The hell are we doing tonight?
Well, I was thinking about that earlier.
Because tonight and tomorrow, it's like, well, there might be a baseball game tomorrow, but is it really going to be worth a darn to watch?
Well, no, there isn't anything tomorrow.
They all start Friday?
They all start Friday now.
I remember back in the day, some would start a four-game series.
Yeah, but they don't. They change that
rule. So they
get
2 days off.
Yeah, they get. Yeah. Well, Thursday, you're traveling, though, to get to wherever you need to be on Friday, you know, whether you're, you know. So this is like really the only day off, you know, that these guys get during the All-Star break. So, yeah, no games tonight. You would think, you know, maybe this would be the night to have the NBA draft or something like that. But no, they got the ESPYs tonight. I don't know if you guys are into the ESPY Award.
Oh, yeah, Shane Gillis.
Yeah. My mother asked me, who's this Shane Gillis guy hosting the ESPYs?
Did I said, he's a couple beers?
I said, no. I said, he's a comedic performer. And that was all I left it at. And then she proceeded to scream at me about Jeopardy, thinking I was her friend Dorothy. And they were arguing over a trivia question last night on Jeopardy and kind of playing along with it. I'm like, what is going on here? Oh, I thought this was Dorothy. I'm sorry. I'm sending these to the wrong ones. And so I sent it to my sister, of course, and she goes, oh, I get these all the time where they're arguing with each other about Jeopardy that's, you know, on at night.
That's so awesome.
I gave her Dusty's number because I thought he'd like to get in on the conversation. Yes, big yes. Jeopardy Wheel of Fortune guy, right?
Big Wheel of Fortune. Didn't get Wheel of Fortune last night. Had the MLB on Fox pregame show.
Yeah, so I guess the ESPYs are tonight. I mean, it's obviously a void that they like to fill on the Wednesday after the All-Star game. So, you know, if you're into that, the award shows and, you know, whatnot. And we'll see if any of our local teams or our local players are up for any awards, getting any awards at the ESPY. I remember the ESPYs used to vote on these things all the time. Now it shows up and you're like, oh, yeah, I forgot the ESPYs were happening. But so that's what's going on tonight. And then, you know, you can watch that or you can just get ready for training camp, you know, because I know that you're a big fan of getting ready for training camp because we're less than a week away now from the start of Chiefs training camp, and it looks like everybody's going to be there. Everybody's going to be ready to go, and we got a full complement of players going forward for the next couple of years after yesterday's event. So really exciting times, I think, for everybody here in Kansas City. You got the All-Star break taken care of, but you also got Trey Smith locked up and ready to go for the next 4 years here in Kansas City. So that was big news yesterday, I thought.
You guys like that contract?
I do. I do like the contract a lot, and the contract for me, it shows me that Trey Smith wanted to be here. After this went down yesterday, I talked to some folks around the league about what exactly went on with the Trey Smith contract. And the Kansas City Chiefs at this time yesterday did not think a deal was getting done with Trey Smith. They thought they were just going to end up playing this year on the franchise tag. And they were resigned to the fact that, you know, Trey wasn't going to get a deal done. He was, you know, at this price point way up high. And they obviously were at this price point and they were going to try to meet somewhere in the middle. But it didn't look like it was going to happen yesterday. And then all of a sudden, the wheels started to go in motion, and Trey Smith ended up signing I think, kind of a team-friendly-ish kind of contract, you know, more for the team than for himself, because when it came down to nut-cutting time, Trey came in and said, I want to be a Chief. And that was it. That was all they needed to hear, and the deal got done. It's amazing when you want to be somewhere how a deal gets done and the player finally gets involved at the end and says, hey, I want to be here in Kansas City, get the deal done. The franchise tag would have paid him $23.4 million this year. He signed a contract that will pay him $23.5 million. So you can see not a huge difference there. Trey wanted to get that deal done. Trey wanted to be here in Kansas City. And the Chiefs are like, great. You got a deal that works for both parties involved. But again, remember that guys want to be here now in Kansas City. And Trey Smith was one of those guys. At the end of the day, he could have left and gone somewhere else after next season and probably collected a much bigger bag than what he got now. But he realizes, man, I don't want to go play in Carolina. I don't want to be like L'Jarius Sneed and play in Tennessee. I don't want to play in Arizona. I don't want to play in these nondescript places that, you know, suck. I'm going to stay here in Kansas City, couple hundred thousand dollars one way or the other, not the end of the world. I want to be happy. I want to play with Mahomes. I want to be a winner. And so Trey Smith, man, great job out of you for saying you wanted to be here in Kansas City. Great job by both sides to get this deal done. Because 24 hours ago, literally at this time, they did not think a deal was getting done with Trey Smith.
Mac, you enjoy this deal?
Yeah, I think it's a win-win overall. I think there are things long-term that we can discuss as far as pressure to the offensive line and pressure to Brett Veach. But I think this is a massive win-win for both guys. I mean, Trey Smith, just in his career here, has watched Travis Kelce stay and win Super Bowls and be dating the most famous person on the earth, and saw Tyreek Hill leave and now is playing more video games than football and has his 12th kid in Miami. So I think
13, I think.
Gotcha. It's hard to keep
that's
up.
That's like horseradish.
But I think overall that long term, he's seen both guys make two decisions, and he's going to go after the one that worked out better in Travis Kelce. I think this is a win-win, but this does up the pressure for this team, and specifically the offensive line and Brett Veach. A lot of pressure now.
Yeah, there is. And a lot of pressure on the left side, right? From the center on over, I think you're pretty much taken care of. And you and I are in the Juwan Taylor fan club,
yes,
Mac.
We're
biased on this one. We think from the center over is just fine. It's those left tackle positions now that have to really, or left tackle and left guard
too.
Yeah, both of those positions. Those are going to be obviously the key positions to watch. You got a rookie and a backup fighting for the left tackle job, which is fine. I don't have a problem with that. And then hopefully Wanya Morris or Suamataia or whoever they decide to put at left tackle is a guy that can go out there, or left guard is a guy that can go out there and be competent and play that position, because not only are you playing to block for Patrick Mahomes, you're replacing a Hall of Famer in Joe Tooney too at that left guard position. So you have to be somewhat competent to go out there.
I think there's two things to the discussion, because one, I think there is, if I read it right, there's a team option on year 3 and 4. So if Trey were to not live up to the expectations, you could trade away. You could do the Joe Tooney thing, yada, yada, yada. I do love the fact that Max said that there's pressure on Veach and this team, right? This team is getting older. Mm-hmm. This team has been in this dynasty run now for, 8 years straight? Yep. You're getting ready to lose possibly your tight end.
Right.
The team is going to have a facelift. And the surgeon behind all of it is trying to get ahead of it. Now, they're either going to come out looking like Wayne Newton, or they're going to come out looking like Tom Brady. Mm. And what I mean by that is they're going to either try to do too much too early and ruin what could be a better future looking, or you're just going to do a little bit along the way that does cause a little bit of, change or the way it looks. And that's what I think we've seen. Signed Butker, the most expensive kicker in football. Signed Creed Humphrey, the most expensive center in football. Mm-hmm. Signed Chris Jones, now the most expensive defensive lineman in football. Signed Trey Smith, the most expensive guard in football. McDuffie's next?
Yeah, McDuffie and Karlaftis are the next two that they're going to be talking to.
And
those are the next two.
I think this lets me know that if they sign McDuffie, I don't know if Karlaftis gets signed. Because I think Karlaftis, and I thought Gold made a great point yesterday on his show, that people, and Mac, you brought this up, or maybe it was you, Bob, that put it in the rundown, is that this number is kind of a fake narrative, right? Like, oh, highest paid, because...
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Like the next guy who signs tomorrow will be the highest paid.
And it's probably $100,000 or whatever it may be. But again, we have been told from the beginning of this franchise that was going, not the beginning of this franchise, but from the beginning of this dynamic dynasty that is Veach, Reed, all these guys, that top paid doesn't get you paid. We saw Jerry Sneed get told no. We saw Tyreek Hill get told no. We saw other guys that might have wanted more money get told no. They didn't pay Charvarius Ward. They didn't pay Orlando Brown, though he didn't want to stay here. And I don't think he was going to cost a whole lot. Maybe there's a different discussion for that.
Orlando Brown just wanted a bag. He didn't care where it was from. Obviously, he signed with Cincinnati.
And I think when you look at Karlaftis's number that they brought up on Cody and Gold Show yesterday, which I'll give him credit for that, that Karlaftis' number is going to surprise some people, because that position gets paid.
It gets paid. Yeah.
And there are two names on that list that have yet to get paid, and they are going to set the market. And that is T.J. Watt and Micah Parsons.
Yep.
Right? And, we can have the conversation of the text line all day long. Well, Micah Parsons and George Karlaftis play different positions. They get paid the same way.
Same way.
They're edge or they're DN. However you want to look at it, it's vanilla, right? Whatever you want to call
exactly.
it.
Exactly. There's no...
And, yeah. So... And I think Karlaftis' number is going to be somewhere between 25 and 28 a year. And I don't know if or when that draft class starts to take a hit, right? Because McDuffie's going to get paid. And then the draft class before that was Creed and Trey, and they all got paid. And then now the hope I think that we have now, which I think is kind of an unnecessary pressure that maybe I'm adding, is that now you hope to God it works at left tackle. Because if it does not... You're screwed. Because you have the guy you brought in as a backup from San Francisco, Jalen Moore. Right?
Yep.
Hopefully he's all right. The rookie you drafted, you hope he pans out, because then you get 4 years of a cheap contract in a very, very, very expensive position, unless he's got a smart agent after the second year. He's like, dude, your position's the second most position on the field, and that guy you're protecting is now 33 years old. So play your game. So I think when you look at this, you're hoping that by the time that Creed and Trey and these guys that you have paid a lot of money to, Bolton, McDuffie possibly, Mahomes' contract will change. Obviously, he's going to start making more money. Yes, he'll defer, all that sort of stuff. But again, like, you're going to have other names that may not get this contract. But then again, I'm done saying that because Veach is telling us, yeah, it doesn't matter. I'll make it work.
Well, they pay the right people. They pay the people that are both good on the field and off the field here in Kansas City. You don't want to pay somebody who's going to be a distraction. It was not a smart move to pay Tyreek Hill. Look at what's happened since he's left here in from Kansas City. Look at the disaster that he's been off the field since he left here.
He also went to the wrong area.
Clearly.
He should have gone to Miami.
But that was the deal that got worked out, man. But you're right about that. Miami isn't for everybody. Let me tell you something. I don't know that I'd survive being in Miami.
I would be dead by 40.
I got a friend down there that owns a restaurant that knows everybody in town that has taken me around and done, like, I mean, the sun's coming up and you're going home, okay? One of those
on
type
Tuesday.
Of deals. 100%.
Yeah,
no, you're 100% right. Tuesday and the sun's coming up and whatnot. So I don't know that I would make it in Miami.
It's like
right?
Dewey Cox. It's Miami, man. You're going to have a lot of fun. You don't want to live here.
Yeah, right. No, it's 100% until you're old and you can't go out anymore, right? Then you retire down there and die. But Miami for a young guy with a lot of money is a dangerous place to go.
And horny, exactly.
I mean, we've seen, you know, 12, 13, maybe 14. Who knows what the
number. I know that I'm hard.
But, is Conor McGregor in Miami?
He may be. But he went down there. But the Chiefs have paid the people that they believe that they can trust, and they never trusted Tyreek Hill. Why should they have trusted Tyreek Hill, right? When they actually gave him a contract, it was never really a contract. It was a roster bonus.
And he ran out of trust. They gave him the open door to the NFL.
Yeah.
Nobody else could have had to do that.
Right.
Then they let the situation in the airport fizzle out.
Right.
I remember that day here.
Right.
And then it was like, all right, dude, you blew up in the locker room in a tense moment where we can't have that kind of stuff.
Right. So take care. It was nice knowing you. But again, they never gave that guy a contract. It was roster bonuses. If you're on the team on April 1st, you'll get $20 million. That's what it was with Tyreek Hill. So there was never any, like, quote unquote, guaranteed money involved because they did not trust the guy. Right. Mm-hmm. They had to draft Mecole Hardman because they didn't trust the guy. So they've paid guys that they believe that they can trust. Look who they paid. They paid Creed Humphrey. They paid Trey Smith. They paid Patrick Mahomes. Travis Kelce, Chris Jones, all of those guys have proven, Nick Bolton, all of those guys have proven their worth on and off the field, that they know that they can be trusted. And I've talked to many GMs over the years, and one of the common themes that they all have in different sports is you have to know who to pay and make sure you're paying the right guy. Because a lot of times you give guys a bag and then they just stop working. It happens all the time. I mean, these 10-year contracts in baseball, did anybody get their money's worth out of those except the player? No. And so you got to make sure that when you pay a player, they're still going to go out there and fight and earn that money. And Trey Smith, you know, is still going to go out there and fight and earn that money. And that's why they're comfortable in talking now. The door is officially open and the clock is moving now. With Trent McDuffie and with George Karlaftis. That was the conversation I had yesterday. Karlaftis and Trent McDuffie are next for the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, will both of them get signed? I don't know if both of them end up getting signed. The good news is more TV deals are going to be coming our way and the salary cap's going to go up. So when we're pissed about watching Christmas Day, that's more money the team can spend to keep their players in town. You know, they're all making all kinds of money off of that. So the salary cap continues to go up, 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 and up in the National Football League. But now that's the focus now. And they can start that focus now. And Brett Veach doesn't have to sit and wait and wonder what's going to take place at left guard next year. Because if they didn't get that deal done, now you're replacing a right guard for next season as well. Now you're going, oh boy, left tackle really better take off, because if left tackle and left guard don't take off, the hell am I going to do at right guard if Trey Smith walks at the end of this season? So that's why that deal was important as well. 4-year deal, common deal around the league for offensive linemen, $70 million of guaranteed money. Everybody's happy with this deal, and that's a good thing. Everybody's satisfied. Nobody feels like they got jobbed on this one.
I do like the point, though, that now that they're there and everything, you're putting your trust in this because you pay the guys that you trust. Now you've got to perform.
Yep.
Now you need to see this offense be able to get, you know, 2 or 3 yards on 3rd and 1.
Yes.
You need to see this offense be able to block for Patrick
Mahomes.
Yeah,
there's no more excuses.
No, man. Like, now you are.
Pressure's on.
This is it. Like, this is. And look, greatness merits pressure.
Yeah, it does.
Because if you don't have pressure when you're great, then no one really sees the honest truth, because everybody hates you because you've been winning. Everybody wants you to lose because you beat their teams. And now that you've locked up Trey and Creed, and you drafted a rookie left tackle that you think maybe everybody passed on, and you're the one team that was like, we're going to take him, and now you're telling us that he should be good to go come training camp in less than a week from, or a week from yesterday, then now it's like, okay, then I want to see this offense again. I want to see this team be a full team, because I don't honestly think we've ever seen this team really live up to its full potential. And maybe finally we'll get it because everybody might stay healthy for once in Mahomes' damn life. Maybe once he has a defense and an offense at the same time. And if that is the case and we do move forward, then I'll shut my mouth and I'll sit back and I'll put a cigar in. I'll say, Brett Veach, damn it, you did it again. But there is pressure to be warranted when it comes to signing guys like this, like Bolton and Creed and Trey, because now you've drafted Worthy and Rice. You've got some control over that. You've got a rookie left tackle. And now you're kind of putting this line around Patrick Mahomes. Now let's see that offensive old.
You know, it's really a kind of a utopic situation to be able to draft guys and sign guys. Like, that's the goal, right? Draft the right guys and then sign those guys to their next contract in the NFL. Like in baseball, draft those guys, develop talent, bring them up to the big leagues, have homegrown players all over the board. Chiefs got a lot of homegrown players, which is great in the NFL. Free agency is such a fallacy in this league. So you keep your guys in place. There's more pressure on Jalen Moore and Justin Simmons this year than there is on Josh Simmons. Yeah. Who's Justin Simmons? He played for the Broncos, Denver, right? Yeah, can't mention that team. But
They'll come after you.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that left tackle position this year, I feel bad for both of those guys, because every single person from the upper deck to Raytown to Olathe to Chillicothe to Eastern Jack is going to be watching that left tackle this year.
Microscope.
Every
and left guard.
God blessed. You know, I can say that word on the air. Boomer Esiason says it all the time. But every single play, we're all going to be watching that. I feel bad for whoever the left tackle is. I honestly do. I know they're making a lot of money, but that guy's going to be over-scrutinizing. God forbid they give up a sack on the left side down in Brazil. Well, at least we have Saturday and Sunday to get through before Monday comes, and we'll forget about that. But God forbid that left tackle doesn't come out and play his balls off to start this season. Every freaking person in this town is going to be a left tackle critic. I feel bad for that guy.
That starts next Tuesday.
It does. I mean, we're going to be watching him in training. Oh, he got beat by Karloftis on the first play. You know, like,
exactly.
There's going to be some dope up there taking notes and telling everybody that the left tackle doesn't look good. Like, I don't know that we've seen a position that is going to be this criticized and scrutinized in this town since
quarterback, wide receiver.
I don't know. I mean, like an individual player that's going to have so much pressure than that left tackle, because I think fans are to the point now where, like, all right, we're tired of this. Solve this issue right now. Mahomes is to that point. Solve this issue right now. So we're like all in this together. Poor dude.
There's a term they use called boomers. There's a term that I call called zoomers. And those are the people that, you know, they open up their iPhone. They kind of open up a little bit more to CCC, like the magnifying glass.
Right.
That is on the left side of the line.
No doubt. The entire left side. Again, it's not just the left tackle. It's the left guard as well.
For sure.
Whoever gets that spot. You're replacing a Hall of Famer in Joe Tooney, a guy that never made a mistake.
Yep.
Never made a mistake on that offensive line. So you're replacing that cat. And now you could potentially have a rookie slash guy who's not played a lot at the left tackle position. It's going to be a quick learning curve. Those guys got to get their acting gear today.
Yeah, and the pressure has risen because you don't have the money to allocate to that position now next season.
Right.
Now that you've paid the center and the right guard the most money at those positions, both for those both players, then you now have to hit that. Josh Simmons has raised that pressure because you have to hit that pick. You don't have money. You don't have assets. That left side of the line is going to be screwed.
Especially if you're going after Karloftis and McDuffie now. And again, that's 100% where their focus is from enough sources inside the NFL. They're going after, you know, McDuffie and Karloftis now. Those are the next two guys. You don't want to go into next offseason going, Jesus, we got a left tackle problem again.
Exactly.
Yeah, because if left tackle doesn't work, you don't have Karloftis.
No. And I don't think you have Karloftis either way, to be honest.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I think that contract, the way it is in the league, it's so high that it's like, unless you are, I mean, the Bengals aren't even paying Trey Hendrickson.
He's also 31. Karloftis is what, 26 years old?
Fair.
You know, when he gets, he's entering the prime of his career. But they're saying they want both of those guys. Well, so until we don't see him, then,
I mean,
you know.
I want to. Freaking! What do you want me to tell you?
But the Chiefs, if they want a guy, they get the deal done. They really do. There hasn't been a guy that they've wanted to get a deal done with that has walked away.
I will say, we look at Veach's draft picks for the future and what that entails. Ashton Gelati, same college coach as Karloftis, very similar player. Just keep that in mind.
Okay. Yeah, again, and that's the other thing. Look at where they drafted.
Yep.
You know, look at what they've done.
They'll show you. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
loving it. Well, hello, everybody. Happy Wednesday.
Weekly poll question on X, formerly known as Twitter, for Fesco and Dusty's poll question. Real simple. I want to know if this, what the percentage of this, this is why I'm inquiring about this. Do you like slash agree with the Trey Smith signing? Yes or no? It's that simple. I want to see the percentage of yeses versus the percentages of no. Prove me wrong.